We're going to go ahead at this time and welcome Pastor Wyatt by video, and I trust you open your hearts to what he has to share.
Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." I'm so thankful for the opportunity to preach to you tonight. Though I would love to be there in person, circumstances did not allow that, and so I'm thankful for this means that we can use, this communication tool, video, and I trust that what I share with you tonight will be a blessing and to help. I know the folks from New Testament Baptist Church know me quite well. They may wish they didn't, but that's beside the point. If they're honest, they will admit that they do know me quite well. For those of you with the BMFP candidate training this week who may or may not know me, for those who don't, my name is Chris Wyatt. In 2002, I was commissioned by Kitchener Baptist Church to start an independent Baptist church in Cambridge, Ontario, which is the next town over from Kitchener. On June the 2nd, 2002, we began Beacon Baptist Church of Cambridge, Ontario, which I pastored until I had a major stroke in March of 2018, which nearly took my life. When Pastor Thiessen asked me about preaching today, I began to think about and pray about what God would have me to share with you, and this verse soon came to mind. This verse had been on my mind recently in regard to my stroke recovery after a couple of conversations that I've had with some people. One such conversation was with somebody at church, somebody who did not know me, somebody who was fairly new to the church. And this lady commented that she had seen me a couple of weeks prior to us being introduced to one another. She'd seen me walking into the auditorium with my cane, and she said, "I could see the look of determination on your face." The other conversation was with a neighbor who I was walking past her house, and she was asked her children to move their toys out of the way. And she commented to me that she could see the focus on my face as I walked. Whilst I would rather be at the place in my recovery that I could walk casually and not have to have a determined, focused look on my face, the fact that those two people commented on that brought my mind to our text. And though I didn't know the reference for it, I did remember the words that I have set my face like a flint. And so, as I prayed about what to preach on tonight, this is the verse that came to my mind. And I've entitled the message this evening, "The Need of Determination in Ministry." Now, primarily, this will be applicable to those missionary candidates. However, I believe that there's something in it for everyone, for the members of New Testament Baptist Church as well. And so I trust that all of us will be blessed and challenged through this passage of Scripture. Some things missing from modern-day Western philosophy are commitment and determination. The typical philosophy today is just do what you feel like doing for as long as you feel like doing it. This philosophy shows up in many areas, or the result of it, such as dropping out of school, college, or university, job hopping, default on debts, loans, and mortgages, the demise of marriage and the family, where in our society it seems that common law marriage, as it's so called, which is just living together without marriage, not marriage at all, according to God's word, but it seems like it's become as common, if not more common, in some circles as the real thing. And separation and divorce abound today. "Till death do us part" has essentially been replaced by "as long as I feel like loving you." Of course, exercise is another area where determination and commitment is lacking, and dieting, of course, as well. And I'm on a stroke survivors group on Facebook. One of the questions that often comes up is about motivation. How do you keep motivated to exercise when you don't feel like it? I've often answered that question, and my answer usually goes something like this. Whether you feel like exercising or not has little to do with it. If you want to get better, you just have to do it, like Nike's slogan, just do it. You just have to get up and get going and do it. If you wait till you feel like it, it's not going to happen as much as it needs to. There are many days that I do not feel like going for a walk. In the wintertime and the fall, especially, there's some drizzly, cold, wet days. And as long as the ground wasn't icy, I determined I'm going to go for a walk. Some days I put my coat on and I thought, what am I doing? Why am I going out here? Well, because I'm determined. I'm determined to get better. You see, when I had my stroke, my wife was told that I would never stand up or walk again. So, I have determined by God's grace to do all that I can to get as much back as I can that God will allow of my ability to do things. So I have become determined in my recovery. And 3 years later, it is sometimes more difficult than it was at the beginning. But praise God, I'm still seeing some favorable results. And I am committed to doing all I can still. For those of you attending the training session this week, it's an exciting, encouraging time. The prospects of serving God where He has called you to is exciting and may seem like such a dream that you think, I will never get discouraged about this. It's just such an amazing opportunity. But I assure you that discouragements will come to test your determination and commitment. They may come early. It may be tested in a struggle to get meetings in churches or problems along your pre-field journey. It may be tested by people questioning what you're called to do. It may be good people, family or friends who mean well and want your best, but they may be questioning what you say God has called you to do. It may be tested by difficulties or delays in acquiring the necessary paperwork to get to where you need to go or to do what you need to do. It may be tested by struggles in getting meetings and difficulties of getting hold of pastors to get meetings to present your ministry. It may be tested by opposition from those to whom you're called to minister. The fact is, there are innumerable ways it may be tested, but rest assured, it will be tested, and you need to be ready. It's my prayer that the principles I see in our text this evening will help you be prepared. Isaiah said he had set his face as a flint. That speaks of determination. And he gives us good reasons in this chapter. Reasons that we can also use to give us the determination that we need to complete the work that God has called us to do. See, in our text, twice he says the word therefore. See, there's a reason that he said, therefore have I set my face as a flint. I believe one of the reasons that he was determined was because he had confidence in God's capabilities. Look at verse 2 of Isaiah 50. God speaking here says, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. See, God is able. God is able to save. He says here, is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Of course, the obvious answer is no. God is able to save. Still in 2021, he's able to save. He saved Saul of Tarsus, the most unlikely candidate to be saved. He saved me. He saved you. If you're saved tonight. God is able to do the impossible. He spoke the world into existence out of nothing. He parted the Red Sea and the River Jordan, made them dry ground for Israel to pass through. He enabled a senior citizen couple who were more of the age to be great-grandparents to have a baby. Of course, speaking of Abraham and Sarah. And God's capabilities. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. You stop and realize that for a moment. This has become one of my favorite verses, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. If God could do everything we could think, that would be pretty amazing, because we can come up with some pretty wild thinking. Think, wow, imagine if God could give me $1 million. Well, he could. If he saw fit to do that and thought it was the best thing for you, for his glory. But the Bible says, not that he's just able to do what we think, he's able to do above all we ask or think. But not just above all we ask or think, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He was able to do abundantly, that means way more than. So if he was able to do way more than we could ask or think, that would be amazing. But he's able to go beyond that, or exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So there's nothing too hard for God. Isn't that what the angel told Mary when she said she couldn't understand how she could have a child as a virgin? What did the angel say? There's nothing that is impossible with God. So you can be determined tonight and moving forward because you can have confidence in God's capabilities. Beyond that, but coupled with that, is that you can have confidence in God's collaboration. Verse 7, Isaiah says, "For the Lord will help me." So Isaiah said, this amazing God who can do anything, who made the sea a dry land, he is not only able to do amazing things, he's able to do amazing things for me because he will help me. Therefore, I have set my face as a flint. See, Isaiah was confident in God's capabilities and in God's collaboration. It's a great thing to know that God's capable of doing the impossible, but far greater yet is the fact that he is on our side working with us to do those things. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." What a profound statement. We are laborers together with God. God is laboring with us. We are laboring for God, but he is laboring with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16:15, of course, is the Great Commission. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The chapter ends with seeing the obedience of the disciples. It says they went forth, in verse 20, and preached everywhere. But listen to this, the Lord working with them. Amen. The Lord was working with them. The collaboration, God didn't just say, go do it. He said, I will work with you. And that was the promise he made in Matthew 28:20, where he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Hebrews 13:5, you may know also, which says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You can be confident knowing that you are never alone. God is with us, collaborating with us, and he is our companion in labor. Be confident in his capability, in his collaboration, in his companionship. Then also in God's calling. Number 5, you can be confident in God's calling. Verse 4, Isaiah 50 says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Isaiah remembered his calling, which you probably are familiar with, found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. Isaiah 6, verses 8 to 10. We'll turn back there and look at those familiar verses, because I think it's important for us to see and realize what Isaiah was really saying here, being confident of God's calling on his life. Isaiah 6, of course, the Bible begins in the chapter saying, "In the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne, and his train filled the temple." It says in verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which were taken from the with tongues off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, and understand, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have moved men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." Isaiah was confident. He remembered the call of God, and he was confident in God's calling, and therefore he was determined. To be determined to complete what God has called you to do, you need to be confident of the calling that he has placed on your life and how he has equipped you accordingly. A couple of different sayings that you may have heard, like I have, one of them says this: God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. You know, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I believe that God calls the equipped and further equips those whom he calls. In other words, there's experiences in your life that will help you do what God has called you to do, but there may be more things that you're going to learn along the way that will also help you to do what God has called you to do. But you need to be confident of God's calling in your life. If you're going to be determined, you need to be confident of his calling in your life. Isaiah had a difficult task, but he was committed to it. He was determined to do it because he knew that that's what God had called him to do, and he remembered that calling of God and realized that God had given him the ability to fulfill that calling. At some point in your life, you may be faced with the need to look back and have confidence in that calling in your life. As a pastor, there came a time where one of the men who had been a blessing to me, a big help to our church, sent an email to several of the men, including myself, and he said, "One of us needs to go," meaning either him or me. Well, I was sad to read those words. It was a heartache to read them. It saddened me. I didn't want to lose him, as such a big help that he had been to me and to the church. But I had no problem knowing which of us it would be if one of us would really had to go, because I knew who called me to go and start Beacon Baptist Church, and it wasn't him, and it wasn't any other man. It was God who had called me and made that calling clear. So God's calling, I was confident of it, and it helped me with my determination. I believe there's another area of confidence that we see here that can give us that determination, and that is confident in the conquest. Confident in the conquest, in God's conquest. Undoubtedly, there will be opposition, but being on God's side assures us of victory. Revelation 12:10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." The devil and his minions will be trying to defeat you, but one day he will be defeated himself. The conquest belongs to the Lord and those who are on his side. I love the song, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And if we are on the Lord's side, I am on the Lord's side. I hope you are. If you're saved and know Christ, then you are on the Lord's side. If you're serving him, then that's an indication that you are realizing that you're on the Lord's side and want to see his kingdom expanded. But if you're confident in the conquest and the ultimate victory of the Lord, as we read in the book of Revelation, then you can be determined when those discouragements and difficulties come along in your life. One final one, number six here, I believe, is confidence in God's compensation. Back in our text in Isaiah chapter 50, once again, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 7, back in our text, says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." I'm sure there are many people who thought Isaiah was crazy, but he said, "I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be confounded." He was confident in God's compensation. I'm not talking about dollars and cents here, but it reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." See, being committed to God's calling isn't about getting rich now, but the rewards will be with that calling and that determination later. You won't regret having been committed and determined to following God's call in your life. Just remember, what God rewards is faithfulness. Remember the parables we find in Matthew chapter 25. What's the term, the words that we all hear spoken in reference to those parables? When the Lord came back, when the king came back to their kingdoms and found those who had been done what they were supposed to do with the pounds that they had been left, whether it was 1, 5, or 10 pounds, those who had worked with what was given to them heard the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And one day, if you are determined to serve the Lord and continue serving him, you too can hear those wonderful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't think there'll be anything that will compare to hearing those words. However, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 does speak of being rewarded for our labor for God at the judgment seat of Christ. The songwriter said, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." See, it'll be worth it. There'll be compensation. For serving the Lord. I believe the reason that Paul could say, "I have finished my course," in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, is because he was determined. Because he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should..." Yes, Paul was convinced, and therefore he was determined. Whether you are a missionary candidate tonight or a member of New Testament Baptist Church, may I encourage you to be determined in the ministry God has given you to do. Your determination will be tested. Be ready and consider these principles in your life, because you can have confidence in God's capabilities. There's nothing too hard for Him. You can be confident in God's collaboration. When you're working for Him, He's on your side. You can be confident in God's companionship. You can be confident in God's calling. You can be confident in God's conquest. And you can be confident in God's compensation. And so Colossians 4:17 says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And so I would say to you this evening, just a couple of concluding thoughts to the message tonight. I think it's important to say that being determined doesn't necessitate being hard or callous in the Lord's work. We must keep a tender heart to the Lord and to those to whom we minister. Remember, Jesus wept in John 11:35. Remember, when Judas, the betrayer, who had every reason to believe in Christ, when he brought those people to betray Jesus, you know what Jesus called him? Friend. Jesus was determined. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work." He was determined, and he completed, of course, because he said from the cross, "It is finished." But he maintained a tender heart. And so we also must maintain a tender heart in our determination and not become hard in our heart towards the Lord or towards other people. Don't grudgingly be determined. Be determined with a joyful determination because of the confidences that we've spoken about tonight from Isaiah chapter 50. The Apostle Paul, who was probably the most determined human being that you would want to meet, said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children," in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. So yes, he was determined, but he was also gentle and soft, tender-hearted. Also, being determined means getting up if we fail or fall. That's part of determination. Unfortunately, in this life, we will sometimes fall and fail. Book of Proverbs, I can't remember the text offhand, I didn't write it down like I should have done, but it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Our strength is small, but His strength is made perfect in weakness. But sometimes we will fall because we are weak and we have small strength. But Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Being determined means if you do fall, if you do stumble, you get back up and get going again. Those things may happen. What do they say if somebody falls off their bike or falls off a horse? Get right back on right away. Get busy again. And if you have been discouraged and maybe you've quit doing something that you shouldn't have quit doing, get back at it. Get up, confess it to the Lord, renew your determination, and get up and go again. Determination is necessary, and I pray that God will help you to have that determination, and me as well, that we would have that determination to keep going for the Lord until the trumpet sounds, until He calls us home one way or the other. May God help you to have determination in the ministry that God has called you to. God bless.